A look at the Hart Bridge over the St. John's River in downtown Jacksonville, and about a mile away at Everbank Field, the Jaguars are getting prepared for Week 15 in the National Football League. The Atlanta Falcons come in on Sunday. Welcome to Jaguars.com Live, presented by Everbank. J.P. Shadrick with John Osier. Plenty to get to today. We'll preview the game coming up this week. You'll see Blake Bortles' press conference. And, of course, Aaron Colvin, Jaguars cornerback, will be our guest today. So plenty to get to heading into Week 15. And December is exciting, finally, John.
Well, it is. And a lot has to go right. I mean, people watching this know about the playoff scenarios. A lot has to go right. The Jaguars have to win all their games, which is the first step, and probably have to get help from Tennessee is sort of the bottom line. The Dolphins could help by beating the Colts and all that. But first things first for this team, beat Atlanta, figure out a way to beat New Orleans after that, keep going. And then the rest, it'll either take care of itself or it won't. But if you win the rest of your games, then you do the big picture thing of continuing to set the tone for this franchise, continuing to build off what you did last week and what you've been close to doing all season. So to me, that's still the bigger issue, although it would be fun if some things broke right.
It would, yeah, for sure. And it should be an interesting weekend. Indy and Houston, well, they play each other with backup quarterbacks, backups to the backups in certain cases. Big game there, of course, to figure out who's going to be at the top of the division after Week 15. Jacksonville 5-8, and of course, Tennessee at the bottom. The rest of the way, Indy, Houston, Miami, Tennessee. Houston gets at Indy, at Tennessee against Jacksonville. And, of course, the Jags have the Falcons, the Saints, and the Texans the rest of the way. And they'll do it with a defense, John, last week that stepped up and played a fantastic game. Three field goals allowed only on the defensive side to the Indianapolis Colts. It was after a couple of weeks where they gave up a lot of yardage and a lot of points, but they stepped up, played a big game last week against the Colts.
And they did. And the X factor is they did it against a backup quarterback, which to me, it doesn't take anything away from it, but it reemphasizes the fact that this week you go against Matt Ryan. And when you're going against a guy's starter and you're going against a guy who can do it, it brings back that element we've been talking about all year, which is you've got to get a pass rush. They did it on Sunday. They got big plays out of the pass rush. That, if there is a key this weekend, that's it. You must pressure Matt Ryan, even though he has played not like Matt Ryan this year, because if he has time to get the ball to Julio Jones, if he has time to stand around and look like we've seen this year, then you can't take advantage of all the mistakes he's made. You can't take advantage of the fact they've lost six in a row. Then all of a sudden, he can do the same thing that Phillip Rivers did to you. So I may be getting ahead of our topic here, but pass rush, if they're going to do the things that it feels like they're capable of doing, if they're going to build on last week, you must get pressure up front. You must figure out a way to do what you did last week. And I don't think there's any bigger storyline than that right now.
And by the way, Paul Posluszny cleared to practice today, according to Ryan O'Halloran, easy for me to say, of the Florida Times-Union. That's a little bit of a boost to the defense, too. Jordan Tripp made the start at middle linebacker last week. We'll see how Paz plays, if he has a club, a brace on his hand, something today to protect that.
I'd expect a pretty cumbersome device in his hand. And I think that's the real issue with Paz right now. You had heard on Monday that it sounded like he was going to be clear to practice. They were hopeful, and Gus wasn't throwing any water on that. So it's not surprising he's going to practice today. The issue is how effective can he be, how much they have to work this week to find something that works and allows him to be as effective as possible. You knew and you know that if Paz is cleared, he's going to figure out a way to be out there. It's not going to be a toughness or a pain issue. But can he function with whatever they can get on his hand to make it safe for him? And that'll be the topic today when we talk to Paul Posluszny.
Certainly will. You mentioned a couple of the weapons for the Falcons. Matt Ryan, of course, has been around the league now for a handful of years, playing at a high level. Julio Jones, still one of the leading receivers in the National Football League. Devontae Freeman, though, is fifth in the league in yards from scrimmage, and a guy who can do it both ways, running the ball and in the receiving game.
Yeah,
as well.
And hasn't played as well in the last month or so as he did early. You get the idea that as things have gone tougher, that perhaps teams have figured that out a little bit. To me, the whole core of this team is still Matt Ryan, Julio Jones.
Yes.
Because when you watch Julio Jones especially, he's one of those guys who can turn bad things for the quarterback into good things for the offense. Allen Robinson's starting to be that kind of a guy for the Jaguars. But Julio Jones can take a bad play where Matt Ryan's under pressure. Matt Ryan throws it up to him, and all of a sudden he's going 60 yards.
That's right.
So that is the ultimate matchup to me. And you said Matt Ryan, I play at a high level. He's really not this year.
That's
17-14 this year. But the key with him is you cannot let him stand, and you cannot let him get a chance to throw. If you pressure him this year, he has shown a tendency, unlike what he usually is, to not make very good decisions, and he'll throw you the football. If that happens out here with this crowd at Everbank, if you can force him into a few mistakes and make yourself know that he's going to Julio Jones every time, then you can get a leg up and then you can win the game. If you don't, then he's still very dangerous because he's an elite guy, even though he's not playing like it this year.
And it'll be interesting to hear Aaron Colvin's take on Julio Jones coming up a little bit later. By the way, the 5-0 start for the Falcons, they're now 6-7.
I believe they played against each other, did they not?
They
in
might
college?
Have, yeah.
I think, no.
No, no, that would have been a year before. That was
too much, yeah. But I'm sure Aaron is such a student of the game and knows so many people who play. I'm sure he has a book on Julio Jones.
Falcons started 5-0. They're now 6-7. There's never been a team since the merger in 1970 to start 5-0 and finish with a losing record. The Falcons are trying to avoid that with a run at the end of this regular season. Let's flip it over now. Jaguars offense, the most points the Jaguars have scored in a game ever in franchise history in the regular season, 51 last week. Of course, a touchdown or two not on the offense, one on special teams from Rashad Green, who was named the AFC Special Teams Player of the Week, by the way, and Andre Branch had the fumble return. But on offense, it doesn't get much better, at least in the second half. Five possessions, five touchdowns, and they spread the wealth. Seven different guys scored seven touchdowns.
A backup here. It's Amari Cooper, who
right.
Aaron Colvin has gone against a lot. A little Alabama brain fade, which you would
it's
never
okay.
have, obviously.
It's
but
okay.
No, if you talk about the offense, it's hard to imagine it playing better than it has the last couple of weeks. So I don't think you can expect 10 of 10 in the red zone. But to me, that's been the whole key. It's not like this offense is playing dramatically better the last couple of games as it did leading up to that if you take the red zone out of it. Mm-hmm. But you can't take the red zone out of it because that's what we were all talking about 2 weeks ago as the thing that they couldn't do. Well, I ran into Greg Olson in the hallway the other day, and I said, Greg, you are really, really smart compared to what you were 2 weeks ago. And he kind of laughed because Blake Bortles and himself that week took a little heat for saying, hey, we just got to keep doing what we're doing. We just have to maintain what we're doing is fine. It's just tweaking a little bit. It's gaining a little more composure. It's gaining a little more experience. It's getting it done. And sure enough, they haven't really changed very much. But there's a little more chemistry down there. Mm-hmm. Blake has a little more faith in what Julius Thomas is going to do. The play Allen Robinson made with the move in the end zone everybody's talking about where he shifts one way and comes back the other. I don't know that they could have done that a month ago. I don't know that Blake would have felt what he was going to do a month ago. Mm-hmm. I don't know that Allen Robinson would have known to do that, or maybe he wouldn't have seen the move to make a couple of weeks ago. So I think what you're seeing is an offense growing up before our eyes, and we talked so much about the red zone being the last thing that kind of comes together for an offense. Mm-hmm. Again, you're not going to go 100% in the red zone. Really, really good teams go about 65% usually. So this is an unusual thing, but it's a good thing. I'll say that.
It certainly is a good thing.
How's that for analysis?
That's
red zone scoring, good.
Positive, yeah. Yes. Thumbs up to the red zone scoring. Bortles this year, 3,524 yards passing. That's seventh in the league. He's third in the league in touchdowns, 30 of those. But 31st in the league in completion percentage. That's the stat that they mm-hmm. all want to rise. And that'll come in time. When the comfortability is there, that just increases.
It's right? a new word for you, comfortability.
Yes.
I like that.
We're digging deep today.
And here's the thing on that stat. It's bandied about, it's talked about, and it's the one thing that they're still sort of criticizing Blake for. But to me, if there's one thing that you would be okay with him not having yet, it would be that stat. He's got everything else. He's got the guts to go downfield. He doesn't get worried in the pocket. He doesn't seem anymore to be bothered by adversity. That was the thing early in the season was, hey, this guy can't overcome it. He throws a pick, the game's over. Well, that seems to be behind him. So all of the work that he did in the offseason, all the stuff with Tom House, all the mechanics stuff, even the mechanics, it appears to the naked eye anyway, seem to be holding. We're in week 13, and you haven't seen a big drop. He's played his best two games the last couple of weeks. So I'm assuming that that means to him that he still feels solid in the pocket. He still feels like he's got the footwork down. So if there's one thing that he doesn't have, it's that pinpoint accuracy. It's that completing seven balls in a row. But I'm assuming that that can be the thing that he works on this offseason. He's going to keep going to Tom House. He's going to keep working at it. So if there was a thing that I'd prefer he not have, it's maybe that. You can't teach the stuff that he's got in the locker room. You can't teach the leadership. You can't teach the ability to overcome things, the ability to see it and go to 50-50 balls with Allen. You know, all those things that are innate, I don't think you can teach those. But can you teach a little better accuracy? Can you teach a little better touch on the screen pass, on the things that he struggled with a little bit? I think he can. The fade is the big thing to me that he has to get better at with A-Rob and Julius. That's something that I assume that you can teach. The other stuff, I'm not sure you can.
Yeah, we'll find out. And here's our weekly update on two of his weapons he throws to. The Allens, of course. Allen Robinson shut down last week. The only catch was the touchdown, but Allen Hurns had the 80-yard touchdown to get things going offensively the early part of that second half. And now eighth in the league in yardage, A-Rob. First in the league, tied for first in touchdowns, and first in receptions of 20 yards or more. Hurns has a catch in 28 straight games and is second in the league in average per reception. So good for the Jaguars' weapons.
And here's what's significant about that to me. You said Allen Robinson one catch last week.
That's right.
Allen Hurns the week before didn't play. Well, the offense still moved. In neither of those games, and Hurns really only had three last week, but in neither of those games did it feel stagnant, which means they're not over-dependent on either guy. And it's also gotten to the point where you're assuming if one of them has a bad game, the other one has a good game. It means defenses don't know how to stop them both. The other day, the Colts put Avante Davis, which is sort of their trump card on defense. They put him on the guy. If a guy gets hot, they figure out how to get him to that guy. Well, they did that with A-Rob. He still managed to score a big, big touchdown. But yet the Jaguars could go to Julius Thomas late. They were able to go to Allen Hurns and get a big play. They're not dependent on one guy anymore. And that, to me, all these guys are young. All these guys are still learning each other. But they're figuring out, if the defense takes this away, we can go to that. I don't know that, to back up a little bit, Mike Dempsey asked me this morning, what's the biggest thing that surprises you about this team? I didn't expect this sort of development from this offense. I didn't expect 30 and 13 from Blake. I didn't expect Pro Bowl type numbers from Allen Robinson, Pro Bowl type ability from Allen Robinson. They are way ahead in terms of some of the thing they're doing offensively with what anybody could have thought of week 13 right now.
Yeah, let's keep it going the last 3 weeks. We'll get to Blake Bortles coming up, the live press conference, and then Aaron Colvin will join us right here on set, Jaguars cornerback. A big question mark on offense this week is at the running back position. If you take a look at the running backs on the roster currently, of course, T.J. Yeldon is battling a knee injury, and he sprained last week, had to be pulled from the game. Denard Robinson stepped up in his place and really stepped into a nice game last week. Joe Banyard has been a special teams player, but inactive five of the seven games he's been around. And the Jags signed Jonas Gray off the Dolphins practice squad, who had a big game last year in one instance with the New England Patriots. So running back, a lot of question marks here this week.
Well, you don't want to get nicked anymore. I'd be surprised if TJ plays. It just sounds like one of those. It's going to be a week. I don't think it's season ending. We're so close to the season that if it was really serious, 3 weeks left, you'd probably IR him very quickly. Let's give a little credit to Dave Caldwell right now, because he drafted Denard Robinson in the first draft, and this was a guy who was not ready to play running back, and the coaches ended Denard. He has developed into the situation now where a fifth-round pick 3 years ago, and I'm not worried about putting this guy in for a full game this weekend. I don't think that you necessarily want him to be your starter going into a season and think he's going to do it 16 games
right,
and be the every down back and be able to grind it out for you. But we saw last week, given the right situation, he can be productive. He's very fast. He's very dangerous. I think the biggest thing for Denard this week, he is a guy that, even though he may not be the guy who is going to get 5 and 6 yards a carry 15 times for you, defenses must account for him. He is good enough and dangerous enough where if defenses don't account for him, he will get 110 yards on 14 carries, which defenses can't allow that to happen. Therefore, he gives you the threat of the run, which is all a quarterback like Blake Bortles. We're starting to talk about him in that way now. Yes. That's what quarterbacks need. They need the defense to have to respect the run enough to allow them to pass. Denard Robinson certainly gives you that. I don't think you could have predicted that 3 years ago. So I said credit to Dave. Big-time credit to Denard, because he was not an NFL running back 2 years ago. He didn't know what he was 2 years ago, and he has turned himself into a guy that now gives the Jaguars something they have at receiver, something they have at some other positions. He gives them depth, and he gives them depth that you can win with.
How about the fifth-round pick in 2013? How about the fifth-round picks for Dave Caldwell, by the
way,
over the last
3 years?
Telvin Smith and Rashad Greene this year.
Yeah, and you mentioned Rashad. We haven't really talked about him today. Don't overlook this guy as a reason that this team looks a lot better over the last month. They haven't had – I covered this team in the 90s. Reggie Barlow was a good punt returner for this team. He might be the best they've ever had in terms of long-term. He could do some things. Rashad Greene gives them a weapon that you can feel the rest of the special teams knows if they hold the block a second longer, he can go all the way. That play the other day was – I was absolutely huge.
Yes.
It helped break the game wide open. But they've now got a situation where it feels like you can expect a big momentum field-flipping play out of him. He's done it twice in four games, and he was very good against San Diego in that vein.
Yes.
If he gives you that, that's all you need out of him, but they think he's going to be a good slot guy, too.
Well over 20 yards of return. We'll go down the hallway now. It is Wednesday. That means it's time to hear from Jaguars quarterback Blake Bortles on Jaguars.com Live.
That's crazy.
Star Wars talk.
Star Wars.
You missed out.
Star Wars. I'm excited. You see it opened up at like a 9.5 on IMDb?
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
You're excited?
I mean, I'll see it. Any movie over 9 on IMDb, I'm excited about.
Oh, wow. All right.
Julius Thomas, four touchdowns, and
John
Jarrett James. You kind of talked about how that rhythm, building it back up, was going to be difficult with him getting the broken hand, but how do you feel like you've gotten back to the point where maybe you were before he got hurt?
Yeah, you know, I think it's a work in progress, obviously. You know, we've seen some dividends of it or from it on the field, and he does a really good job. You know, it's a lot of credit to him, you know, throughout practice and throughout the week on him, you know, coming and watching film with, you know, myself and Chad and, you know, talking and asking about things and, you know, where do I want him to be and, you know, what do I think about this? And then, you know, during practice, you know, in periods where we're off or it's a defense period or whatever, saying, hey, let's go work on some red zone stuff. So, I mean, he wants to continue to get better and does a really good job at it, and I think it showed off, and he'll only continue to get better and make more plays.
Are there things that you guys are starting to pick up on the field during the game with each other?
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, whether, you know, it's him changing. I mean, he changed the touchdown he caught, you know, was called a fade, and he changed it to a slant based on the leverage he had on the guy. So things like that, I think, you know, we'll only continue to get better at with communication and practice.
How would you compare that to the progression you're making with Marquise coming back from injury?
Yeah, same thing. I mean, both those guys are hardworking guys that want to get better and want to contribute as much as possible to this team. So they're both fun to work with. They're fun to, you know, be teammates with. And Marquise especially is, you know, he's a guy that you want to give him the ball because he's so explosive and can do so many things after he catches it that, you know, you want to try and get him the ball as much as possible.
This seems pretty obvious and repetitive, but at this point, what are the advantages of growing in a system with Yeldon and Hearns and Robinson?
Right. Yeah, I think it's huge. I think to have the same guys, you know, in a system for a long period of time, you know, I think the arrow is going to continue to go up and guys are going to continue to grow and get better and more comfortable and confident and, you know, eventually to the point to where as a player and as an offensive unit, we kind of own the system. And I think, you know, that's why you see so many of the older guys and the older quarterbacks that do no huddle and stuff like that, because everybody, you know, has a really good understanding of the offense and what's going on schematically.
Looking at the film, what didn't you do in the first half that you did do in the second half that changed things?
I think just executed, really. It was kind of, you know, the first half was as bad as half of football as we've played. And I thought we did some good things in the second half, but still weren't flawless, you know, I think, by any stretch of the imagination. Still made mistakes in the second half. In this football, you're going to do it and try and limit it. You know, so obviously the turnovers, you know, you want to get rid of those. But I think the lack of execution in the first half was really what led to, you know, a ton of three and outs and not really, after the first drive, a whole lot of moving the ball.
So how do you execute second half and now doing the first half?
I don't know. I think you got to make more plays. You got to be into it, you know, I think mentally with decision making and stuff like that. But, you know, I think it was a cool process and kind of opportunity for us to go like struggle like that in the first half and be able to rebound and come back and play well in the second half.
Well, has Atlanta done defending the tight end? What kind of stands out to you when you look at it?
Yeah, you know, I think they got a bunch of guys to play up front. And you know, I think they do a good job. You know, they'll play, you know, some different coverages and mix things up. But, you know, I think it's another opportunity for us to, you know, try and, you know, hopefully get Julius and Mercedes in some mismatches, you know, like kind of like what we try to do every week, you know, get those guys on linebackers and safeties and stuff like that and see if we can take advantage of it.
When Julius came back, he was getting a lot of attention, you know, probably more on reputation, what he did in Denver because he had just gotten here. Are you now starting to see it change at all based on stuff that you guys are doing? And is he still getting the same amount of attention?
You know, I think guys, you know, when you got a guy putting up numbers like Allen Robinson's putting up, I think, you know, he kind of gets a little extra attention, whether it's, you know, a safety over top or, you know, roll coverage or whatever. So I think it's kind of allowed other guys to get, you know, definitely some more single matchups and stuff like that. So I think, you know, not sure how they're going to play him or if they're going to do anything special to Allen or Julius or whoever. But I think it's a good chance for, you know, both those guys to have an opportunity to win one-on-one matchups.
How good was that route that A-Rob had on the touchdown?
Yeah, it was an unbelievable route. You know, something he does really well. You kind of forget it because, you know, he makes so many big plays, you know, kind of in the deep ball game and jump balls and stuff like that. But he is a really good route runner and can, you know, create separation and do things, you know, inside from the slot position.
He didn't have his usual big day. Was they covering him better, or did other guys were more open?
Yeah, you know, a little bit of both. You know, he was involved in the game plan and the plays. You know, it was the first or second reader progression, and you know, a lot of the things we did, they did, you know, put some extra people, you know, whether it was roll the safety over or do whatever on them. But you know, I think the other guys stepped up and did well. And you know, Allen Robinson, you know, it doesn't bother him. You know, he's a team first guy. You know, that he didn't have a catch. You know, in the first half or whatever, you know, it doesn't bother him. Doesn't get him down or out of the game. He continues to play hard and run good routes, and eventually got a touchdown.
Say that you came in here with six losses in a row, gave up 30 points previous week. You know what happened? Now Atlanta's coming in the exact same thing, six losses in a row, gave up 30 last week. Is it going to that before? Change your mindset at all?
No, not at all. I mean, it's, you know, one thing that's evident on film is they play hard. You know, I think they're still, you know, mathematically in it, so by no means are they going to quit or lay down for us. You know, they're going to come out and play, you know, as hard as they can and give us everything they got.
We just think it's saying that gave us any sense of, gee, these guys lost. They're not very good. We should be able to win this or a home.
Ooh, Atlanta?
When you played San Diego, you know.
When we played San Diego? Yeah. No, not at all. I mean, that was another team that, you know, had lost some games, but was a talented team. And, you know, with obviously Phillip Rivers playing quarterback, and then their defense was talented as well. So, you know, it wasn't a kind of a change in mindset at all.
Is there anything unique for this week in the sense that Gus and Dan Quinn have worked together before and like to do a lot of the same things when you look at it?
Yeah, you know, obviously they have some similar philosophies defensively and stuff like that. So I think it'll be a challenge because, you know, we haven't faced, you know, our defense or a defense like that really since camp and OTAs and stuff. So we'll have to go back, and review some things and do some stuff like that. But, you know, I think it, you know, anytime you get a chance to see somebody that has similar philosophies, I guess it could help out.
Nice to see you guys getting a lot of love. 90 points last 2 weeks offensively.
Portals, and we're joined now by Jaguars cornerback Aaron Colvin. Good to see you. Thanks for coming on, man.
Appreciate you guys for having me.
It's week 15. December games are getting exciting. Now, the team's playing better overall in general these days. And that's a good feeling after all the hard work you guys put in, right?
Most definitely. And everybody knows the NFL season is one of the longest seasons, it feels like. So for us, it's been a pleasure, and we're just trying to continue to build.
Defense stepped up to the challenge last week, the week or two prior to that. Not good performances overall by that group. But you guys last week allowed 3 field goals, shut down the Colts on third downs, shut them down in the red zone, too. That's been a big issue for this defense. What was so different about last week's effort?
I think just our approach at practice that whole week. I know that guys took a lot of initiative on ourselves and trying to do the little things right, and we just try to treat every practice like it was a game. Each period, we try to treat it like it was a game, and it definitely paid off, and it showed on film.
And it's one of those things where the Indianapolis Colts have owned this division since the division started back in the early 2000s, and they had won, what, 16 straight divisional games? I think there's a league record. You finally got the Colts. I mean, it's the first time this group has beaten Indianapolis. That's a good feeling, right? Finally to chop the head off the snake, right?
It's a great feeling, especially because the Colts is they're a great team still. And for them to beat us the way they did the first time, we knew that we wanted a little revenge, and we felt like we could beat those guys. And our goal is always to win the AFC South, so that was a start.
This defensive back room, there's been a lot of guys coming in and out of the lineup this year. A lot of the same faces, though, just different roles at times. But it's a group that could just continues to grow, right? You got House here this year. You've changed roles as this has gone along. Nick Marshall's getting some time now on the field. How does that help your group when you got guys that can come in different roles and different times and still play at a high level?
It makes us really versatile, and I think that guys are starting to grow and guys are starting to figure out what their role is. And even though that we do change, guys are always moving. There's a lot of moving pieces. I think that guys are stepping up to the challenge, and it's starting to pay off. And, of course, there's going to be growing spurts. You know, we're all still really young other than House and Sergio. So I think that we're doing a good job, and we just plan on continuing to build.
Do you just call them old? I think you just did.
It's old for our room. We call it old in our room. Yeah.
Yeah, compared to the rest of you guys. Sure. Yeah. Your season so far this year, I don't know if you're a stats guy, but 56 tackles, 48 of those solo, 4 sacks this year, 5 tackles for loss, a handful of passes defense. But the sacks are the interesting thing. You know, that's been a little bit of a topic this year, corner blitzes. And you've had your hand in a lot of those this year, something you didn't do a lot of at OU. But how has that changed your game this year?
I've always enjoyed blitzing, and I appreciate the coaching staff for just sending me and trusting that I'm going to get there. And you know, they've sent me on great calls, and it seems like every time I come, I'm usually either free or only have one guy to beat. So I enjoy doing that, and it's been a pleasure, and I made some plays, and hopefully I can make more.
You told me before, you told a lot of folks before, you got to have that dog in you when you're playing, especially on the inside. But you might want to have that dog in you this week against Julio Jones, right? One of the best receivers in the National Football League. Matt Ryan throwing it up to him. They're not having a great year in terms of wins and losses lately, but there's still a dangerous attack on this offense. What do you know about this Atlanta offense?
I mean, if you look at the stats, you still see that they're in the top of the league in almost every category. And especially with Matt Ryan as a veteran quarterback, you got Julio, who is, of course, everybody knows how great he is out there. And you got veteran guys like Roddy, and you got a great running back that can run the ball. So when you just turn on the tape and when you watch TV, you can tell that they have the talent. So we know that we have to be prepared, and we got to be on our game.
What makes Julio's game so good?
You know, just honestly, I worked out with him this past offseason, so I got to see him work, and his work ethic is just is unlike any other. And he's just he's a beast. He's a dog, like I say. And he's a big receiver, big physical guy, can run. But I think his best attribute is probably his explosiveness.
Where do you guys work out? Where does that happen? And how do you guys get together?
Last year was my first time working out in Arizona, and he came out there for a little time. So I got a chance to work out with those guys, and House was there. It was a lot of us there.
Did you shut him down? Or I mean,
I never really got a chance to guard him like that. We was just trying to work on our strength and our speed.
You should say yes. Of course, I dominated him. Right?
I'm not going to lie to you. Oh, okay. I'm always keeping. Yeah,
of course. I ain't gonna lie. Let's go to social media with Aaron Colvin. What is you? You're @Colvin_22, right?
Yes, sir.
I got that right. It's on your screen as well. Let's go to Twitter. Professor Floyd 88. Who is the best trash talker on the defense?
We got a lot now. Sergio is a talker. Sergio is more of a funny trash talker.
Okay.
Telvin's a good trash talker, but Telvin has so much energy, you can only hear him half the time. But Branch is a really good trash talker, but I would put those three up there. Probably Telvin number one.
Telvin number one, but you said you can't understand him half the time.
I can understand him because that's my brother.
Okay.
But half the time you can see guys looking at him like, all right.
I have no idea what you just said. All right, so Telvin Smith it is. Let's go to Instagram. Sweet 11 Jones, do you finally respect Kobe Bryant?
No. I mean, he was a great player. He's definitely going to be one of the greatest to play, but that's not my stilo. He can stay on the other side. I'm all LeBron, baby.
All LeBron.
Steph Curry, too.
Oh, Steph now, too.
And KD.
Steph hasn't been around long enough.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I'm a bandwagon on Steph Curry. I just became a fan not too long ago. But KD, I've always been a fan, and LeBron's always been number one.
Well, you're an Oklahoma kid, so you got to like the Thunder guys, right?
I got to. I always support the Thunder.
That makes sense. Yeah. So. Having the compass, asking, what has been the biggest challenge in your transition from college wide receivers to pro wide receivers? Big 12's a passing conference, points all over the place, of course. Biggest challenge now, difference, I guess.
I would say the biggest difference is there's just no drop-off. Every receiver you face, no matter who comes to your side and lines up across from you, you know that they're one of the best in the world, you know, and in college sometimes you got away with just using your athleticism and doing things like that, but now you really have to prepare and you really have to study these guys because they can all play.
We'll continue with some social media here. Nate Morin asking, who's the hardest player you've had to cover in your career?
In my career? Ooh. I get asked a lot. I've went against some good receivers now.
Yeah, you have.
Tavon Austin in college was the real deal. Justin Blackman, of course, he was the real deal. Josh Gordon was the real deal, but I say this, but I'm going to have to give it to Amari Cooper.
Amari Cooper
was
Alabama guy.
I loved his game, man. I felt like you never knew what he was going to do. You never knew the route he was going to do, and his releases were, they were bar none. If you got a good release off the line as a receiver, it's hard to guard you.
That was the Sugar Bowl, right?
Sugar Bowl.
Yeah. I won't remind people who won the game.
You can, though, if you want to.
I won't, no.
It's up to you.
CJ underscore 7, let's move along, asking if you could be any superhero, who would you be?
I'm not a big superhero fan like that. I've never really been on stuff like that.
No.
But I guess you could say Superman. I know he had
that doesn't seem too emphatic of an answer.
I don't.
That's just not your thing.
That's not my thing. I'll watch the movies, but I'm not a big fan.
Just not into it like that. Yeah. Well, you're a human being, right?
Sorry, guys. Whoever asked, I'm sorry.
That's okay. No, yeah. CJ7, he's just
sorry, CJ.
Crying at his computer right now. Ian Wyman, what were your favorite sports teams growing up? I think I have an idea, being from Tulsa, Oklahoma, like you are, right?
Nah, you don't know, probably.
Probably don't.
Miami, that was my...
I would not have guessed that.
Yeah, no. Miami, that was... My wall was painted green and orange with the stripe in the middle. Everything was Miami, all you. And then Florida State was there for a little bit, but... You know, I'm originally from Tennessee, so I always was kind of grew up around that area. And my Little League baseball coach went to Miami and kind of forced it on me, so... I was a big Miami fan.
It's all about the U, apparently. That's the rumor.
Yeah.
You know, we were reading something in the past about you, speaking of Tulsa and all that area, that you have a nickname, right? They called you Slick. Is that right? Why is that?
Man, if you go anywhere in the Southwest region, Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas, Arkansas, nobody calls me Aaron or AC. It's all Slick. So this AC and Aaron thing is new to me. I'm still... When people call me AC, sometimes I don't even pay attention because I'm just used to Slick.
You think it's somebody else that they're asking for, not you. Yeah. Why is Slick? Why is it Slick?
Literally baseball coach, man, and I used to run bases really smooth, he said. So I kind of looked effortless is what he used to tell me. So he called me Slick, and it just caught on. And one day Coach Bob Stoops, he called me Slick, and after that it was a wrap. It was Slick all day, every day.
The Sooners going to get it done this year?
They're getting it done. No question. But I'm not going to talk about it because I'm not going to jinx it.
You just did.
No.
Too late now.
No, I'm taking it back.
If Clemson doesn't get you, Alabama might.
Yeah, I don't.
We'll see.
I know you're an Alabama fan. You really don't want to see that. You don't want to see that matchup. You remember what happened last time.
Last time, yeah, I know.
But you can talk about it if you want.
Aaron, good luck to you this week against the Falcons. Big matchup against Julio Jones, Matt Ryan, and the group. And let's finish strong here, right? This is a team that's playing a little better right now. You got everything ahead of you. That's the feeling right now. This is a good time to be a Jaguar and play well down the stretch here, right?
Definitely. And we're not going to relax. And, you know, we've had some ups and some downs this year. But we know that when we're up and we're playing like we can beat a lot of teams. So that's the main focus.
Good luck to you.
Appreciate it.
Aaron Colvin joining us. Jaguars cornerback here on Jaguars.com Live, presented by EverBank. Come see the Jags and the Falcons this Sunday at EverBank Field. Come early for the Jags game's tailgate party before kickoff. It features a live performance by the Struts and X Games legends Andy McDonald and Jamie Bestwick. Get your tickets today at Jaguars.com/JagsGames. Our thanks to John Osier, who joined us earlier, Blake Bortles in his press conference, and Aaron Colvin as well. For everyone involved, this is JP Shadrick. Thank you for watching Jaguars.com Live, presented by EverBank.